It's a Friday on Facebook Live.
Well, yes, it is.
And welcome, everyone. Our Friday Road Show is in studio, sponsored by Queen City Motors. Yes, that's right. We are in studio today. Hopefully, we'll be back out on location before too long for our Fridays. But in the meantime, we will be in studio. The upside is you get us on Facebook Live. Isn't that fantastic? Now, we'll still have the Locke and Smith Foundation. They're going to be joining us this morning here in the 7 o'clock hour. And it's not going to be stopping by, but we are going to have Don Carriker on the line. As they say, that means on the phone, because he's got an event coming up we want to make sure that you know about. So we've got that also. And then all sorts of new. Claire Bear is on MSNBC, making Missouri proud. Oh, yes, she is. So we've got some of that audio and a whole – there's a lot of great stuff going on. Everything from – let's see. The bag of Democrat candidates, it's just so fun. Let's see. Hillary Clinton, her latest complaint is that there are not enough Democrats in the media, that it's just overrun with right-wing conservatives, that mainstream media, it's too far to the right. Elizabeth Warren has declared, if she's elected president, 50% of her cabinet, no matter what, qualifications out the window, there will be a quota. 50% will be a combination of women and non-binary individuals. Now, why women are lumped into that, I don't really know, but nonetheless. And Pete Buttigieg in hot water from the gay community because his husband canceled a fundraiser at a male strip joint because they would not take the dancing poles down. So, as you can see, it is the creme de la creme amongst the Democrats.
Wow.
I mean, that's just in the last 24 hours.
Wow.
Those are the highlights. Yes, indeed. How are you doing there? It's good to see you on a Friday.
Yeah.
I'm not remotely wondering if you're there. And hopefully, as I mentioned, we will be back out on location soon.
Good.
But in the meantime, we will have the benefit of Facebook Live on a Friday.
There we go. Can't beat that.
And I don't know if people can hear it. That's coffee percolating.
I hear
it's
it and smell
really it. It's not really percolating, but it is brewing back there in the KSGF. The KSGF Ninja Coffee
Brew.
Yes,
as you're watching,
they're not Ninja's not sponsoring it or anything.
Oh, okay, good.
But we got an espresso, and which it is just absolutely incredible. I'm not a coffee person, but I love our espresso. See, what happened was they are in the rooms. Did you guys use yours in the Great Escape, Sarah? Did you use your Nespresso machine?
Like every day.
Yeah, they had them in all the suites, the Nespresso machines, and I was like, this I love. You know, usually when we're out, I'll have like a coffee when we're doing the show because, you know, it's something to drink. But other than that, I'm not a coffee person. But then an espresso, I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. So we had the Ninja, and I thought, well, I'll just put it here in the studio so we can have some coffee right here, our own KSGF coffee.
It's big machine.
Yeah,
there.
It is. Yeah. It does. It
really percolates
it
well.
It does. It's got a frother. Mm-hmm. And it can do iced coffee. It can do a number of things, I'm telling
cool.
you.
Well, this is a perfect morning for it, that's for sure, because the weather is a bit nasty outside. We do have that light snow that will continue to impact the morning commute, ending by late afternoon. Widespread snowfall totals look to be around 1 to 2 inches along I-44, areas north of the interstate 2 to 3 inches, with some pockets of 4 inches up across central Missouri. Now, areas south of I-44 generally seeing an inch or less. We had reports of up in Hickory County, 1 inch of snow, and up in Appleton City, up in St. Clair County, reports of 1.2 inches from what's fallen already this morning. A growing list of school cancellations for today. Some of the latest additions are Bolivar, Fairgrove, Marshfield, and Logan Rogersville. You can get the complete school closing list at ksgf.com. And a Greene County judge finding Tommy Morris Jr. guilty of causing a deadly crash when he tried to get away from Springfield police almost 2 years ago. Morris was convicted of second-degree murder and 2 drug charges. Police tried to stop him on the drug charges at the Price Cutter at Chestnut and the Bypass, but Morris drove away. Officers stopped following him, but Morris kept going, crashing into Dana Sourd's car at Scenic and Mount Vernon, killing Sourds. That is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks. Home improvements. Winter weather advisory until noon. Snow this morning. Steady temperatures around 32. Cloudy, 26 for a low tonight. Then The heat wave comes with a high of 42 tomorrow. Sunday, cloudy, 47. Sunny on Monday, 51. Right at 32 with snow showers falling upon us. I know when I got in a little over an hour ago and it wasn't quite happening, but when you came in,
yeah, it's
you said
snowing.
It was snowing a little bit. All right. It didn't appear slick when I was out, but, you know, right there we're at that 32 mark, so I think it's going to be relatively okay, but let's not be crazy about things as we drive about. The Queen City Motors talk and text line 447-KSGF. We are in studio today. Our Friday Roadshow is in studio, sponsored by Queen City Motors, but we are on Facebook Live, and I'm even wearing my normal out-on-location attire. As is Sarah. We're twinsies today. Yeah, there you go. See, look at that. We didn't even plan it. We did not plan it. So, all right. Should we do the Claire audio? Yeah, let's do the Claire Bear. Let's talk about Claire Bear a little bit. We haven't talked about good old Claire Bear McCaskill. And quite a gem she is. If anything, the melodious nature of her voice is missed, I'm sure, by the people of Missouri. But it gets delivered up to a much smaller population, and that is the viewers on MSNBC, as she is a commentator now. Much, much, much more at home there than in the state of Missouri. And, of course, they were taught, you know, paranoia. The Democrat Party has officially become the party of paranoia. Russia, Putin, Russia, Putin, Russia, Putin. I mean, they're obsessed with it. And she was on MSNBC, and they're all talking about this, and here is what Claire Bear has to say.
I think Putin on the phone said, you know, Ukraine messed in the election.
Oh,
Ukraine
I think
is
there's good evidence.
I mean,
Putin
this is all Putin yeah. pulling his string. He owns Donald Trump, lock, stock, and barrel. So I think this was a twofer.
Right.
For Donald Trump. He could please Putin, which clearly he's more worried about than pleasing many members
of the American people.
And at the same time, he had a perfect place to try to get Biden.
Well,
all right. So Donald Trump this guy who, on one hand, does whatever he wants. He doesn't care what people. But on the other hand, Putin is absolutely controlling him. So I thought we would talk, since Claire Bear was such a huge supporter of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and she seems so worried about Putin. And I suppose she would know to some degree. After all, she lied about her relationship with the Russian ambassador, falsely claiming that she never talks to the Russian ambassador. And not only, of course, would we find out she did, but actually went to his home once for a cocktail party fundraiser. Oopsie daisies. But nonetheless, we'll do a little compare and contrast and see who really, in terms of a president or a secretary of state, acted as if they were a puppet of Putin, shall we? We'll do that next. I'm Nick Reed. Here's Traffic with Nathaniel Pauly. All right, so we've got the context because people tune in at any given moment. Claire McCaskill, making Missouri once again proud with her paranoid conspiracy theories. And what you're going to hear here is her explaining that, evidently, Putin called Trump. Now, this is new information. Putin called Trump and, I guess, told him about Ukraine. She's not real big on specifics here. But something about, and you'll hear her explain this, that Putin called Trump and then Trump trying to please Putin somehow. And again, she doesn't necessarily explain that, but this is all Putin controlling Trump. And then at the same time, Putin got a twofer, I guess, or Trump did. It's very difficult to track what she's talking about here because it's very detached from reality. So, in fact, I'll just play for you what she's claiming on MSNBC.
You know, you.
was that?
I think Putin on the phone said, you know, Ukraine messed in the election.
Oh,
Ukraine
that, I think
is,
there's good evidence.
I mean,
Putin
this is all Putin yeah. pulling his string. He owns Donald Trump. Lock, stock, and barrel. So I think this was a twofer
right.
for Donald Trump. He could please Putin, which clearly he's more worried about than pleasing many members of
the American people.
Of the American people. And,
of our
and at the same time, he had a perfect place to try to get Biden.
Well,
all right. So let's just break some of this down, shall we? Now, as you know, Claire Bear was a woman who went out and fully supported Hillary Clinton when she was running for president, and she also fully supported Barack Obama. Hillary Clinton, you may recall, famously and embarrassingly, as Secretary of State, went over to Russia with that famous reset button. You recall what the reset, but now the embarrassing part, I mean, it's just, you want to talk about embarrassment. Trump's supposed to be an embarrassment. The button wasn't even translated properly. It didn't even say reset. But so, of course, she made a laughing stock out of herself on that one. But the whole point, it was one of those buttons. It's a red button. And the point was to symbolize resetting relations because we've been so mean and unfair to Putin. We've been so mean and unfair to Medvedev. We've been so mean and unfair to the Russians. We were just awful. And those damaged relationships had to be repaired with Russia. It was our fault. That's why Hillary Clinton went over there for the reset button. It was a hand of forgiveness being put out or asking for forgiveness. It was the hand of an apologetic nation. We're so sorry. Please, please accept our apologies in this reset button. Now, that wasn't Donald Trump. That was Hillary Clinton sent on behalf of Barack Obama. It was one of the many, many acts of the Please Forgive Us tour that President Obama went on or sent Hillary Clinton on after he got elected to the presidency. And one of the big goals was to get back in the good graces of Putin. Another example of it that we weren't supposed to know about, many of you know, is prior to his reelection, while he was in the midst of running for reelection, President Obama was doing a, you know, one of those sit-down press conferences, and Medvedev was sort of the figurehead, if you will, of running Russia, but it was Putin, and everyone knew that, including Obama, which is why Obama would lean over to him, not knowing his microphone was on, asking Medvedev to please send a message to Putin, making sure he understood that once I got reelected, this is Obama, tell him once I get reelected, I'll have a lot more flexibility to do, you know, kind of whatever he needs, whatever he wants so we can get along. Just can't do it now because Obama didn't want to be vulnerable to the accusations and the appearance of crawling on his knees to Putin, being weak. Leading from behind, as his administration would proudly coin the term. And so he told, just tell Putin if you would, just wait until I get reelected. Then I'll be able to, you know, I don't have to worry about repercussions of it. I could do what it is that he needs. That wasn't Trump, Claire Bear. That was Obama. When Mitt Romney was challenging Obama. This was around that same time period. During one of the debates, and Mitt Romney had been asked about, you know, whom he thought was the number one geopolitical foe of the United States, and he said Russia. Democrats howled at the ridiculous nature that Russia was a country that we needed to worry about. Barack Obama, during the debate, mocked him, telling him, huh, you know, the 80s called. They need their foreign policy back. You know, we don't need to worry about Putin. We don't know what we need to worry about. That's old school stuff. That's the fear-mongering that the Republicans were peddling during the 80s. We're way past that. That wasn't Trump, Claire Bear. That was Barack Obama. essentially begging in the limelight the American people to get on board in trying to get into the good graces of Putin. Another one of the many ways in which we apparently attempted to do this under the Obama-Biden-Hillary plan was to enter into the Uranium One deal. Uranium One is a Canadian company that mining accounted for about 20% of uranium that's mined in the United States. Uranium, of course, used for, among other things, nuclear weapons. Well, the Russians decided that it wanted to own 51% of it. That way they would be able to control all of that uranium. Investors in Uranium One, they're no dummies. What did they begin to do? Give money to the Clinton Foundation. I'm sure it's a total coincidence that they were doing this. Started in 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2010, 2011. Money, 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 money to the Clintons. Hillary, of course, Secretary of State. In 2010, they cut a check to $500,000 to Bill Clinton to come speak in Russia to an investment bank, which, of course, has ties to the Russian government and Putin. I believe that's the trip he actually went to Putin's house and had a nice little chat with him as well. $500,000. Clinton, as Secretary of State, was required to, well, she was one of the individuals that had to sign off on this. She was on the special committee that had to approve it, and that would happen. Hillary was also required to disclose all of her foundation contributions before she became Secretary of State. But guess whose contributions got left off? Uranium One's. That wasn't Donald Trump. That was Hillary Clinton during the Barack Obama administration, Clarabelle. Do we need to talk about Crimea? And the fact that Putin was allowed to take an entire piece of a country, that being Ukraine, and our way of fighting back was to send John Kerry out. By then, Hillary Clinton was no longer Secretary of State, to tell him, well, they can't do that. Oh, we may have even sent them a strongly worded letter. It had to be. The easiest invasion of a country ever. And by the way, we, signed under Bill Clinton, had an agreement with the Ukrainians in exchange for them giving up their nuclear weapons, which they had because they said that is the only defense we have against an invasion from Russia. That is it. So for legacy purposes of denuclearizing the world, Bill Clinton signed an agreement with the Ukrainians promising that, well, listen, you get rid of your nuclear weapons. If Russia invades, you don't need nuclear weapons because you have the full might of the U.S. military. That promise was broken under the Obama administration. We were like, never mind. That wasn't Donald Trump that did that. It was Barack Obama. And let's not forget the Syrian deal. Remember that period of time when Assad was gassing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, women, children? And of course, Obama drew the red line. It was ignored. When it all came down to it, who was it that Obama turned the reins over to when it came to, because it would eventually happen, Syria's like, okay, we'll give up all the chemical weapons. We're like, well, we need proof. Russia stepped in and said, guess what, Barack? We'll take care of it. Oh, no, we can't do that. Putin's like, yeah, no, don't worry, we can. To which Obama said, okay, you do it. And we would later find out that the plan that we allowed Putin to set up and Medvedev to set up to get those chemical weapons out of Syria never actually happened. That wasn't Donald Trump who did that. It was Barack Obama. So when it comes to whom has who under control, when it comes to recognition of what American leader Putin leads around on a leash, when we look behind us at those who Claire Bear supported and endorsed, there is a tremendous track record of that occurring with Obama and Hillary. Springfield's News Talk FM, 104.1 KSGF. Yep. Now, by the way, I'll hit on a few points of reality. Things that Trump has done when it comes to dealing with Putin. It is, if you're a person who actually knows what goes on, and you're not a filthy liar, like, I don't know, Claire McCaskill. It is so obviously clear in the difference that a country, and it's not just Russia, but any country, when it comes to dealing with the United States, the difference in approach. And I just listed for you a number of instances in which the Obama administration, oftentimes with the help of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, forced us as a nation to almost plead for forgiveness and acceptance from Putin, mocking people who said Putin was a geopolitical foe, mocking Mitt Romney for making that claim during the challenge to Obama's second term, the Uranium One deal. But President Trump, in the meantime, has consistently put the screws to Russia. One of the ways, one of their lifeline export is energy. Remember how twisted in knots people like Claire McCaskill got whenever Donald Trump embarrassed Angela Merkel of Germany at that NATO meeting a couple years ago? Remember that? He called her out. It was so embarrassing. You know what that was over? That was over the fact that they were building this Nord Stream 2 pipeline that was going to result in Germany buying energy from Russia. And he told her, you've got to stop funding Russia. Called her out in front of the world. The one leader in the world who said, we've got to stop this. We have to stop funding Russia. We have to stop buying their energy. One of the first things Rick Perry did as Secretary of State was sent by Donald Trump over to Poland. Poland was almost completely reliant on Russia's energy, gas being piped in. He was sent over there to turn that around so that Poland could become energy independent and further putting the screws to Russia. I mean, these are just a couple of examples. That's real life stuff. So on one hand, you have previous administrations, Democrats, and not that Republicans haven't, you know, catered to Russia as well, and not that there aren't strategic reasons at particular times to do it. But for Claire McCaskill, who supported Obama and supported Hillary Clinton, these individuals at forcing taxpayers to help subsidize, to support, to give moral support to Russia, to Putin, and then Trump, who has tried to put the financial screws to them and called out world leaders publicly who have helped fund their exporting of energy, to say Trump is somehow a puppet of Putin. I mean, you really do. You end up in the air. You don't know if somebody like Claire McCaskill is a complete liar, void of any sort of morality or ethics, or if she's just an idiot. And sometimes it's a combination of both. I want to also talk about, it's amazing, these bits of information that are massive that get completely overlooked and ignored, but the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty that Trump pulled us out of, and how that was just another example of the tough treatment of Putin by the United States versus previous administrations. First, we've got Don Luzader with the latest news.
Well, good morning. That light snow will continue for the morning commute. It should be ending by sometime this afternoon. In the Springfield area, totals ranging from 1 to 2 inches of snow up and down I-44. Areas north of the interstate, 2 to 3 inches, and pockets of 4 inches up across central Missouri. Now, if you're south of I-44, you'll generally see an inch or less of the snow. We do have a growing list of school closings across the Ozarks today. Schools like Bolivar, Clever, Dallas County R1, Fairgrove, and Hartville are closed. Lebanon, Logan Rogersville's closed. Marshfield has been added to the list. No school today in Mount Vernon, and other schools include Sparta and Stratford. Now, that's just a small sample of this. We have about 3-page-long list. You can get the complete school closing list at ksgf.com. Federal jury indicting a physician in Nixa for health care fraud scheme that cost $2.4 million. Dr. Randall Halley is accused of prescribing a fentanyl spray made for breakthrough pain in cancer patients to patients who did not need it or did not even have cancer. He was one of the top prescribers of the drug in the United States. Court documents allege that Dr. Halley received kickbacks from the company making the spray, totaling some $92,000. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast. I don't even know where it is. When I do it. See, I get all. I know I have it. You just kind of gave the weather, didn't you? Oh, here it is. I found it.
You found it. I got mine in the other room.
I'm sitting here looking at the Queen City Motors talking text line, which, by the way, thank you. Hey, Sarah, do you have the text line up over there?
No.
Okay. Well, never mind then. Is it hard for you to pull up?
No.
There's a guy who he's not really familiar with how to use Facebook, and he's wanting to know like if there's a link that without having to sign up for Facebook.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Can you send that
I
to
can.
Him? All right, thank you very much. The that Queen City Motors talk and text line, by the way, is 447-KSGF. So any sort of questions like that, or you just want to talk about subject matter, you can text it. For instance, someone had mentioned, this is Randall, that Rudy Giuliani is going to start podcasting recordings of witnesses tomorrow. And that will be an introduction, and then after that, he's going to start, airing those podcasting. So, Giuliani seems to be sort of running his own little, I don't know what he's doing, to be honest with you, but hopefully it'll be insightful. All right, KTTS First Alert Forecast Winter Weather Advisory until noon. I know Don mentioned some of this. The weather is brought to you by Anchor Tactical Supply with some area snow this morning. Temperatures holding around 32. Cloudy 26 tonight, partly sunny 42 tomorrow, and Sunday cloudy 47. It's 32 with area snow now. Thank you. But which, for those of you that are on Facebook, just you can search 104.1 Nick Reed and find it that way. Before we get into another example of Trump demonstrating that he has, I get probably since Russia was not the Soviet Union, been the toughest president in terms of dealing with Russia. First, Don Carriker, he is on the line with us as we are in studio this morning, hopefully out on location again very soon. You have one of these, you're starting seminars again, right? These seminars sound so... it doesn't do it justice, what you put on as these events. And they're informative, and there's usually food there as well, which, of course, is always a benefit. So tell us a little bit about what's coming up.
Okay. Hey, thanks for letting me come on.
Well, you're welcome.
But we do have a year ago, and we're starting them back up. And the first one that we're going to do is something that many people don't know anything about. And it's in regards to your retirement. I'm getting to the age of thinking about retirement. You're a little ways from there, but
that's right.
A lot of people are. I know. Yeah, you're just a puppy. Mm-hmm. But for those of people that are wanting to invest more successfully in their retirement, the stock market is huge right now, and we're going to have a correction at some point in the future. We're almost we're at 29,000 on the Dow, and you have no control over whether that goes well or poorly. So if we have a correction, a 20% drop, let's say, in your investments, whether you're mutual funds or single stocks, you're going to lose a lot of money. So what I'm doing is I want to put this seminar on right now. It's coming up on February 6th at 6 p.m. I will feed you, but I need to know how many people are coming, so you need to help me out with that. So you could be invested in, and get this, you probably have never heard about this, Nick, not even you, with you talking to me so much. But if you have an IRA or an old 401k from another company, do you know that you can be invested in cryptocurrency, precious metals, private notes to individuals? As you know, I'm invested in my IRA through this same type of program at FD's Grill House here in town. You know, I am a partner in that, just a small minor one.
I know, because you always, you know, that's where you like to have IRA. Lunch.
I know. Well, it's good food, too.
But that is true.
You can invest in all sorts of things, and people don't know that. They go talk to their stockbroker, and he says, yeah, you need mutual funds or stocks, and that's it. Well, yeah, that's great if you like going to Vegas. But right now, you can control and take control of your IRA in a totally self-directed IRA and be able to invest in just about anything. So it allows you that freedom. And so that's what I'm doing, is I'm putting on this seminar to let people know they aren't just at the whims of the stock market. It's time to take your money out of the stock market that you've made. Let's say you've made $50,000 in profit, you know, because of this huge run-up on the stock market. I don't recommend getting out of the stock market. I just recommend taking out your money that you've won, so to speak, on the stock market. Take that $50,000 profit and invest it into something else that's safer. And that could be, like, for example, you can have rental properties. You can own the house down the street as a rental property and be able to have that be your IRA. You do not have to withdraw this money. You're transferring the money to a different IRA. So if you're interested in this and you've never heard about it, you'll never hear about it from your broker because he doesn't like it. He's not going to make money at it. But if you're interested in it, February 6th, it's the Thursday before Valentine's Day.
Okay.
So I'm trying to do it in a good time where you got nothing else going on. 6 p.m. at my office, 3100 South National. I will feed you. The best way to get a hold of me is go to my website, iwantagreathomeloan.com. My phone number is there. Text me how many people are coming so that I can make sure I have enough food to feed everybody.
Right.
And we will go over this information and show you how you can now be invested in other things besides just stocks and bonds and mutual funds.
All right. Sounds awesome.
That's the seminar.
Where do you have this information anywhere where people can find it? For example, iwantagreathomeloan.com or elsewhere, because people, you know, they're driving, they forget.
Yeah, all they got to remember is iwantagreathomeloan.com.
Okay.
The phone number is there. Text me and tell me you're interested in the seminar. Tell me how many people are coming. I'm not a big fan of Facebook. I wish some conservative would come up with something that we could use instead of Facebook. But until that happens, I'm just not a fan of it. It'll probably be on our Facebook page. Ty will help me with that, but it's not up there just yet. Try and get that up there today. We've got that, and do I have a second to mention something else?
Yeah, go ahead.
There's also a first-time homebuyers account that is brand new, came out last year. Nobody knows about it. If you're used to using like a health savings account, or you're saving money for your kids' college, there's a Most account in Missouri. There is also now a first-time homebuyers savings account that you can open, and this is totally separate from my seminar, a first-time homebuyers savings account where you can deposit up to, I believe it's $3,600 per couple to be, $3,200 per couple to be able to save towards buying a house if you're wanting to have a down payment. And you also get a tax deduction for your Missouri taxes on that. So it's please call me. Let me know you're interested in that. I'll tell you all about that too. But there's some new things that are coming out. It's a brand new year. I'm pushing really hard to have everybody that I work with have this be their best financial year ever in 2020. So that when they go forward and they're looking back at 2020, they're going to go, doggone it, I had the best financial year ever I've ever had.
Don Carricker, everyone, thank you, sir. I hope you have an excellent morning. And, of course,
thank
as
you.
Always, that information and so much more at iwantagreathomeloan.com. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, YouTube. Bye-bye.
All right, bye now. Now, he'd mentioned Facebook and how he wished there was a conservative version. Somebody did text in on the Queen City Motors Talk and Text line. A site called Spreely.com, Spreely.com, and it says Spreely, which is Speak Freely, the social network for free people where the First Amendment is the community standard. So if you have any interest in that as a as an alternative to Facebook, I'm not sure about the interface or any. I'm not familiar with it at all, but that was sent in from one of you all, so thank you very much for that. Nathaniel Pauly, he's standing by with traffic. I'm Nick Reed. Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. We are in studio this morning. Our Friday Road Show is landed us here in studio, so we are in Facebook Live. You do have that. You may not be able to see us in person, but yeah, there's Tom Martz. And oh wait, actually no, it's on Sarah still. You don't have to put it on them if you don't want to. Yeah, you know, they're not technically on until 7 anyway, but there you go. Yeah, this is an opportunity for a lot of people to see the Lock and Smith Foundation instead of just hear them. Now, I was talking about Claire McCaskill on MSNBC, and if you miss the sound of her voice, you can go back and listen to it in the podcast once it gets posted. But she's on MSNBC claiming, this is this conspiracy theory is a little disjointed, but so it's tracking it. There's it's a little difficult, but she essentially is claiming that Putin called Donald Trump and told him that Russia, or I'm sorry, that Ukraine was interfering in the election or something like that. And so Trump, because he is a puppet of Putin, that's why he wanted corruption investigated. In Trump. Not because legislation was passed as part of a joint agreement during the Obama administration between Ukraine and the United States to root out corruption. Not because of obedience to the law here in the United States, but because he wanted the any sort of corruption investigated because Putin told him to. And it was a twofer because then he could get Biden. Now, why that would hurt Biden if Biden is innocent, I don't know. But nonetheless, this is a conspiracy of Claire McCaskill and that she's out there spreading around. Starting to fall into the Hillary Clinton camp. Everyone's a Russian agent. Now, we talked about all of the areas that former President Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton essentially gave Putin whatever he wanted, publicly asked for him to allow us to reset our relationship. We were just so mean to him and Russia. We're so sorry. Obama asking Medvedev, please tell Putin once I get reelected, I can work with him in the way that he wants. You know, just the listing of things, the Uranium One deal. But then we also talked about how Trump has dealt with Putin and how he's publicly embarrassed Angela Merkel at the NATO meeting because she was helping create a pipeline into Germany where they would buy Russian energy. And Trump is trying to put the screws to Russia, trying to do economic harm. Also sent Rick Perry as Secretary of Energy over to Poland to help them get energy independent from Russia. Also some efforts in Ukraine as well. All of these efforts in order to try and press Russia, press Putin. There was also the 1987 Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, the INF. And this was a deal that had been set up in 87 that essentially, just putting it very basic, in an effort to calm down the weapons wars, that we would both agree to not test missiles in certain capacities. You know, like, okay, we won't do this testing, you don't do this testing, we won't do this advancement in technology, you don't do this advancement in technology. And it was meant to stop the war of weaponry. And what we would learn over time, as is often the case, is that Russia just ignored it, and they went ahead while we put restraints on ourselves. So they continued to advance their development while we sat there abiding by the rules. And the Obama administration acknowledged that this was discovered. Everyone knew this was going on. Everyone knew that Russia was violating this agreement. And there was talk about obviously pulling out of it because we were handcuffing ourselves so that Russia could develop further their capabilities when it comes to intercontinental or you know, a certain range of missiles. But guess what happened? Russia and some other countries went to Obama and said, no, we don't think that you should do this. So guess who Obama listened to? Fast forward to President Donald Trump, and Donald Trump said, I don't care what Russia says. I don't care if Russia wants to keep us, if Putin wants us to stay handcuffed when it comes to this outdated deal. We're not going to be part of it anymore. And he withdrew us. So for the conspiracy theorists, the Looney Tune-minded individuals like Claire McCaskill, who have themselves convinced that Putin is controlling the United States through Donald Trump, they are either, she specifically, lying, which in doing so is beneficial to Putin, or she is just so detached from reality and perhaps has some sort of intellectual defect that prevents her from any sort of thought process that is necessary in order to, I don't know, function in everyday life. You know, it's one of these two things. She's just way out there. She's nutty. She's loony. And of course, let's not forget the bonus prize here. While she was out there screaming, Russia, 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 and publicly demonizing Jeff Sessions at the time because he had some conversation with the Russian ambassador. And while he said, listen, this is just normal day-to-day stuff. You're a U.S. senator. You talk to ambassadors. And she declared, Russian ambassadors never talk to me. And of course, it would be proven through her own tweets that that was a lie. And it would eventually be revealed that she actually even went to his home for a fundraiser, for a cocktail party. Oh, Claire McCaskill. As always, making Missouri proud. All right, so New Hampshire. Now, Bernie Sanders won New Hampshire when he was taking on Hillary Clinton for the nomination, trying to prevent a woman from getting the Democrat nomination. And he's just always done pretty well there. And once again, this is proving to be the case with less than 3 weeks away. A new WBUR poll suggests Bernie Sanders might be peaking at just the right time. The survey of more than 426 likely Democratic primary voters finds Sanders in the lead, running well ahead of the three closest competitors, which have been for some time. That would be Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, and Elizabeth Warren. He's been raising lots and lots of money, of course, continues to do so. The poll shows that right now, Sanders is the choice of 29% of likely Democratic primary voters, Buttigieg at 17, Biden at 14, and Warren at 13, and then everyone else is behind. So this is, again, part of the problem that the Democrats are having to deal with, and that's the fact that even when you have, let's say, here's a state where Bernie Sanders is so far ahead of the others, he's not even breaking 30%. Not good news for any of these candidates.